Hope everyone's doing well. I heard the week before spring break is pretty intense for some people. So if that's you, I will be praying. If it's not, I'll be praying that you just joyfully enjoy this easy week. But I don't think it's normally an easy week before spring break, unfortunately. Hopefully you can enjoy the break a little bit. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea of being in suffering and having the lens of hope, and how we always need to have that lens. And I'm just going to read over quick the verse from Romans that we read, because it'll apply to today. And it's Romans 5:1-5, and it says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." That's crazy. "Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And so we talked about last time about having the lens of hope while we're in suffering. And then we also a little bit discussed about how when we're in suffering, we have these moments where we start to come out of suffering, and we have endurance being built in us and character being built in us. And then there's this amazing hope at the end. And today we're going to talk more on that subject, about actually living out that hope that's at the end of that progression. I have read some of this book. My wife's read more. It's called Final Steps in Christian Maturity. And it's really interesting because the author in the book talks about the idea of trees being in winter. And she says this, that a tree in winter is actually undergoing and submitting to a process which preserves its life and strengthens the tree. After all, what does winter do to a tree? It contracts the tree's exterior. The life deep within is no longer uselessly expended. Its life, rather, is concentrated deep within the deepest part of the trunk and in the hidden portions of the root. The life is forced deeper and deeper into the inmost part of the tree. And she talks about how the tree loses all of its outward beauty and is kind of stripped down, and you see a tree for what it is. And a lot of the time, that's what happens in suffering. We go through suffering, and we see that we shed all of our pretty things, right? We lose our smile a lot of the time, and we show our real selves. But in showing our real self in that, and sometimes it's going to be good and sometimes it's going to be bad, we start to be worked on by God if we let him. Because I know that despite what the enemy wants in suffering, he is doing work in our sufferings. And if we allow him to flow through us, he is going to build us up. And so that's what we're going to talk about, that being built up and knowing that hope. I'm reading through, I love motorcycles, if you guys don't know that. But I'm reading through this book called Jupiter's Travels. And it's this guy who motorcycled all around the world in like 5 years. And earlier on in the book, he talks about how he just hits this downpour and it's like the worst. And if you guys, you just know what getting caught in the rain is like, right? Like when you're walking, maybe when you're bicycling. So just imagine that when you're wearing like maybe a hoodie or maybe like a leather jacket and jeans, and you're going like 70 miles an hour. It feels awful. And so he bemoans that state earlier in the book. And then probably 15 or 20 pages later, he talks about how he's driving along the coast in Africa. And on one side is desert, and on one side is the ocean. And up ahead, way up ahead, he can see this storm that is over this village. And it's like, it looks insane, but he's like off in safety. And he talks about the idea about how those people probably think it's the end of the world. It's like the apocalypse because of how bad this storm is. But he said he can see the good on one side, and then the bad storm, and then the good on the other side. And I think that's what happens after we've gone through some storms, after we've gone through some suffering. We actually start to understand that God has hope for us at the end of suffering. That we start to embrace this life of hope so that when we encounter suffering, we know who to turn to and we know what to rely upon. Because there's an end. And it's funny that I'm talking about, I just happened to be talking about this, and then this past week, I had the joy of traveling on Monday on a plane. Kiana, Aaron, and I all had to fly out to Billings, Montana on Monday. The rest of the staff came out on a Tuesday, but if anybody knows airlines, it's air travel is suffering pretty much always. And sometimes you get the luck, the nice ones where it's like, oh, that was easy. It was just quick. But this was not one of those times. So on Monday, we drive down to Sioux Falls. It's not really that bad. We go wait in the airport. Sioux Falls Airport is the best for clearing security. Took us like 7 minutes, I think, not even. And that's with bag searches. They search both our bags. And so we're going there for a conference for our district. And we had to go 2 days early because I had an ordination interview. And Aaron was part of the ordination interviewers, and he had to interview 5 different people, including myself. And Kiana got to come for the interview and the conference. So we go through security, then we're waiting, and we hear our plane's delayed, and it's still not there. And it's getting, it's up to boarding time, and it's still not there. And then we find out that there was some sort of load issue or some sort of weight issue on the plane that it got delayed in its previous destination, so it was 1 hour and 10 minutes late. Which was like not that big of a deal because we had a 2-hour layover in Denver airport. So it was like, no big deal. We'll get into Denver. We might have to like hustle to go get Subway or something beforehand, and then we'll just get on the plane. And so we finally take off. We land in Denver, and it is like the snowpocalypse. I think that's what happened here, too. It was, like, crazy. There's, like, snow just everywhere all over the tarmac. And we're 3rd in line to get taxied in. And we're like, oh, this is unfortunate, being 3rd in line. No big deal. We'll probably just have to hustle, and we won't get food, and we'll have to eat when we get to Billings. So then we get up, we get taxied in, and then there's a plane in our gate. And the plane's in our gate because the something to do with our plane came 1 hour and 40 minutes late. So they're like, we got to give away gates. We're Denver Airport. We're busy. We're not Sioux Falls. And so we get off the plane. We see the sign that says, your plane hasn't left yet. We're like, oh, yeah, let's hustle. So we start hustling over. We get to the gate. Halfway to the gate, we hear over the intercom, the person from Sioux Falls that left their suit on the plane, please come back to gate 77. And that was me, because you have to wear a suit to your ordination interview. And I'm like, I don't care. We're going to run. I'll wear a hoodie. They'll get over it. They'll understand. And we get to the gate, and the lady at the thing was so nice, and she was like, oh, yeah, we tried to keep it as long as we could, but it like kind of just left. Yeah, you'll have to go talk. You missed it. And it's like we're talking like 8 o'clock at night in Denver Airport. There's not another flight to Billings, Montana. It's a smaller airport than Sioux Falls, actually. And so we end up having, because there was a load issue to start, we got to go through the line. We got to go through the line to get free hotel accommodations. This line took 3 hours to wait through. And then when we got to the hotel, we were like, we're hungry. We wanted food. And so we had, in that 3-hour line to get there, people are complaining and they're bemoaning it. And we're just like, this is going to be a funny story. It's already pretty funny that this is happening. And we had a good attitude about it. And then we get to the hotel, like super late, by like 11:40. We get into our room, and we call this place that's supposed to have really good pizza in Denver. So we call them, and we say, hey, we're looking to order pizza. They're like, yeah, no problem. But we don't do delivery past 10 o'clock, so you got to do Uber Eats. And I'm like, ugh, what's this thing? So we download the Uber Eats app, want this pizza really bad, order it on Uber Eats. Something went wrong with the app. The guy drove to the middle of the other side of Denver, like the downtown area. We end up getting our pizza at 2:08 in the morning, cold. And this is just like a sitcom at this point, just everything. And then we ended up getting to Billings, Montana, 23 hours after leaving our house in Brookings. You can drive there and almost back in 23 hours. But the funny thing was, and the thing I really appreciated about Kiana and Aaron, and I did an okay job, they did a great job, was that everyone kind of kept their cool. Because we had all traveled on airlines before. We all knew that the airlines were going to be unreliable and things might not go down well, and we were all pretty calm because at the end of the day, everything was going to be okay. And there was this like hopefulness about our thing, talking about how it'd be a story. I didn't think I was going to use it in a sermon already, but I knew it would be in a sermon example eventually. Normally bad things or funny things do get into one. And I thought of all the other people in line that were like swearing into their phone to their friends. They were so mad. They were upset. They were like, this is ridiculous. And I just thought about how many people are in suffering and that they don't live life hopefully. They don't live life with a hopeful mindset. They don't live life knowing that this storm that's here and now, even though it's awful, and we, like, it wasn't fun to wait 3 hours in a line. It wasn't fun to stay in this hotel and get our pizza late and all this stuff. But at the same time, there's a difference between living hopefully and just letting the suffering stew within us. And someone we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago was David. And David did the stewing a little bit sometimes, but he always had this lens of hope. He always had this view of hope. And then, after he had been in this time in a cave, after he'd been on the run for his life, and after Saul had wanted to kill him, Saul ends up getting killed in a battle, and David emerges, and he's about to be king. And we see Psalm 18. And it's this amazing psalm of David giving thanks for deliverance. And I'm just going to read you the start and the end in verse 1 to 6. It says this: I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And then David goes on to talk about all these things he's delivered from and how God has rescued him and how he's so delighted with him and so thankful. And then he concludes saying this: the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his kings and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. David has this view. He had this hope the entire time, and he has this view and this knowledge of coming out of suffering, of coming out of a time of being on the run and in caves and people wanting to kill him. And he sees this amazing hope and he is thankful. And it builds something in him in the same way that it builds something in us after we emerge from times of suffering, from times of distress and times of trial. It builds hope. Paul talks about the progression of suffering building this endurance in us where we start to feel the presence of God and we can feel that there's some force to it, and then character is built in us so that we might be built up in him, and then there's this amazing hope that emerges, this hope in Christ, this hope that lives within us because the Holy Spirit lives within us. And when we're living with that mindset, the enemy is going to try his best, but we're going to be unstoppable. Paul continues in Romans, and last time we read the start of Romans 8 where it says that the Holy Spirit is there and praying for us. And then he says this in verse 31. After emerging from times of suffering, he says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or United Airlines? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And if we profess Christ, this is the power and this is the force that is within us. God living in us and working through us so that we might overcome any obstacle. And as I was thinking about this, first, I was just in awe of the power of God. I sometimes think, and I sometimes know that I don't give God as much credit as he deserves to powerfully move in my life and in the lives of others. The way that he is always there, he's always loving, he's always providing. And we need to remember that hope and rest on that hope. And when we've seen that hope, we really need to cling on to it and use it to fuel through our next times of suffering. But also, we have this amazing opportunity to speak life into the lives of others. Coming out of suffering, having endured, and being built in character, we can speak into the lives of those in suffering. We have a unique voice of hope in this world when so many people can only see darkness. I picture it as like this tunnel that's so long that you can't see the light on the other end. I don't know if you guys have been in one like that. But it's so dark that you can't see the other end. But what we did to start with is we trusted God and we walked through it. And now having emerged from the tunnel on the light side, we hear some rumblings on the other end of the tunnel where other people cannot hear or cannot see the light. And we shout down to them words of hope. Words of encouragement, words that say, God is with you. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if we live lives that are hopeful and don't only have a lens of hope, but have this full, wholehearted embrace of hope, when people are in darkness, whether it's Christian brothers and sisters or people who have never even encountered Christ, we can breathe and speak life into their situations when all they can see is darkness. I don't know if you guys, probably everyone has, been to a funeral. But if you've been to a funeral, you can see these light moments for people where a relative or a good friend or maybe the pastor who knew the person really well says things about the person and sees light and is able to speak life even though they know that they've lost someone that they've loved. There's other times that we see this where it's just us going to a friend and telling them that we love them and giving them a hug. There's other times that we see this when it's you see someone sitting alone and you go up to them and you just start a conversation. It's not always going to be about shouting that God loves them down the end of the tunnel. It might just be about sitting there and listening. But we need to be people that are looking to share that hope with each and every person that we encounter. So I think there's a few takeaways that we can depart with thinking about given these things. The first is to pray for those in suffering. Intentionally pray for the things that they are suffering through. All of you are given, there's no bulletin this week, it's just a little card that prompts you to write down someone and something to pray for. And maybe you'll write down a couple people and something that they're going through, but be intentional. And take some serious time over the next 2 weeks, over this week and spring break, to pray for those people, that they would have hope. And on the same vein of things, don't be scared to ask for prayer if you're going through something. That's how we build one another up. In Galatians 6:2, it tells us to share one another's burdens. And I think that's such an amazing way that we can be a community of faith and hope and love is by sharing the things that are on our hearts. And in that same vein, don't be scared to ask someone how they're doing. And don't be scared to share how you're doing with someone that you love and that you're close with. There's so much power in sharing those things and praying through them. And if you don't have anyone that you feel like you can go to that can pray for you, there's going to be people at the back tonight, and there's people at the back every night here that they would love to pray with you. If you want to talk to someone in the lobby at the info desk, if you want to come see me during the week or someone else here at the church, we would love to pray with you and to talk with you, because that's what church is all about. It's about sharing life and to building one another up in Christ. And the last thing is to be hopefully minded. And this one's a little harder to practice. It's easier to go talk with a friend about something you're going through, or asking them how they're doing, or praying through something you know people are going through. It's a lot harder to start living with a hopeful mindset. I know I fail at that so often. I get down and I get snowballing and I think everything is the worst and everything's gonna fall apart. But we need to be people that are living with the view of hope, that are living post-resurrection. People that are living a life not just here on earth, but an eternal life, a kingdom life. People that are living in light of Christ living, dying, and resurrecting. We need to be hopefully minded. And that's something that we need to all be praying for more of. More hope. More vision. More love. So that we could better share the hope and love of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. Rest on that. Let's pray. God, Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son. God, thank you for the gift of your son so that we might live life in the Spirit. God, I pray that your Spirit would flow in this room, but that he wouldn't just flow in this room, but that he would flow through us in every room and every place that we go. God, I pray that we would be people at the other end of the tunnel, people who see the other side of the storm and can encourage others and can live with others and can cry with others and can pray with others and give them hope. God, help us to transmit your hope into people's lives. And God, I pray that as we embrace hope more and more, that as suffering comes, we would receive it joyfully, knowing that you are going to build us in that moment, and we will emerge with more endurance, character, and hope than we had before. God, thank you for your love. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.